in.
We are back.
Welcome to Scary Dad Podcast episode 62.5. It's been a while since we did a meta, and we are pretty much just fixing to call it a night. And then I glanced over and I saw the $6 million man bionic mission vehicle sitting over here on Scott's table, and there's a
Evel Knievel stunt ship.
Wow, yeah, there is that. Wow. And Colonel Austin is missing from the cockpit. Where's the man?
I got to get a new Austin. That's I found this and already started the hunt for it. But I used to have the Steve Austin where he had the little hole in the back of his head and you could look through his eye and see shit. The one I had, I sold. So I want to go ahead and going to be getting another one to put into the cockpit of that little ship.
So how do when you go to sell stuff? What is the least uneconomical way to sell stuff? Because I'll tell you what, I've been getting driven nuts. So, as you know, I have my office study, and I collect comics and toys and action figures and stuff. And I don't generally collect to sell. Occasionally, I'll see something that is not necessarily my thing, but like I'll be at Goodwill or something. I'll clue in on something and be like, okay, well, I know. And they're selling that for 99 cents. I know that goes for like $10 or $20 on eBay or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'll pick it up, but not as like, I wouldn't call it an investment. I mean, I'm not going to put my kids through college on it. Right. But just kind of one of those like, why would you just not pick it up if it's free money like that?
Right.
But I don't have a system for selling. So basically, my story lately has been, I need to declutter my office. I need to get a bunch of this crap that I don't really want. And I could just donate it to some. I could give it back to Goodwill, I guess. I could give it away as Christmas presents, or I could sell it on eBay. Well, I've been posting it up on eBay, and I've been having results selling for the pricing I'm asking. The problem that I'm having is eBay always miscalculates the shipping. The post office never has the right size box. So, from start to finish, I end up spending like 2 to 3 hours, and I'm ending up with like $4, $15, you know, $12 in PayPal. And I'm like, well, if I was to break that out in dollar per hour, I've made about $4 an hour to get rid of some crap that I don't really need. But if I, like, yes, I'm getting rid of the crap, but it would have probably been more economical for me to just set it out to the street.
It would have made more sense, at least.
Yeah. So how do you go about just like offloading stuff that you don't want and actually profiting?
Well, the thing about eBay is when it comes to eBay, if you're not like, if you're just doing a couple of listings, never offer free shipping. Make them pay for shipping and try to make money off of shipping. And just certain things sell on eBay, certain things don't. You want to try to get premium pricing. It's a lot of work, man. At the height of my eBay time, I was doing 150 auctions at a time, constantly having them listed. And, you know, at that kind of volume, it makes it a little bit more worthwhile. But there's so much planning you got to do with shipping, making sure you got plenty of boxes on hand. When you do your listing, making sure you know exactly what stuff weighs, what size box you're going to use beforehand so that shipping is calculated right. There's a whole bunch of stuff that's a pain in the ass.
Well, see, even when it doesn't calculate incorrectly, like I sold something and it was like calculated the shipping should be around $7. Ultimately, shipping was $7, but it needed to be put into the medium box. Drive up to the post office, they ain't got the medium box. So I have to go to a different post office and they got the medium box, but it's the express flat rate thing. They don't have the medium sized box for the priority box.
Right.
Like, son of a bitch. So I go home, and luckily, my wife had gotten in something from Amazon. So I just repurposed that box. But right. I've already made 2 trips to the damn post office. And then whenever I, like, shore it up, you know, yeah, sure enough, that was a $7 shipper. But I only made, like, $8 for the product. Like,
Right. Whoever
bought it from me got their thing for $15, and that's... that's great, but I only made $8 with 2 trips to the post office. I'm like, dude. So anyway, we're not going to talk about post offices. So I'm just looking around being like, dude, I'm like in a...
But other than that, just selling locally. I mean, it depends on what the item is. I sell either on eBay or locally. And just, you got to know the market.
So what are you searching for right now? What's kind of... I'm looking around, and you just got some...
I got my Devil's Rejects figures over there, which I've been waiting for a while. Increasing my Beetlejuice collection of 80s Beetlejuice toys. My movie Maniacs actually also got a Evil Ash from Army of Darkness. So I got both the Ash and the Evil Ash from that now. My big one that I'm looking for right now is the 1978 Godzilla.
Okay.
Which I have found three of them. I'm just trying to negotiate price right now because that one means a lot. I got to try to get that one. So,
how did you end up losing that one originally? Just garage sales and
moving. I mean, that I haven't had it since I was 9 years old. So after my dad died, when we moved, it just kind of disappeared.
Yeah, just things like that you don't think about, and then you get older. Like all the guys that we deal with are all big into sealed in the box G1 Transformers and stuff. And I only, like, there's only a couple of Transformers I really, and I don't even really, because if I wanted them, I would have had them by now. But
right.
If I come across them and they're in good shape and a good deal, then
pick them up.
You know, I'll pick up Soundwave, pick up, I never really liked Starscream much. Maybe Thundercracker. I liked him. But the one that I want is, unfortunately, he's rare.
One of the harder to find ones.
He was not a very popular character, but he was the first Transformer I ever got. He was Mirage. He was the Formula One right. race car. And like I said, I played with my toys a lot. I had Mirage, but the way Mirage transformed is, you know, you got your Formula One race car and you pull his arms out and then you twist his waist. And so his feet are actually his spoilers on the on the top of his car. Well, mine broke at the waist, so he split in half. So lost him. You know, he went away.
Medic.
Exactly. So, but I've been kind of keeping my eye out for a Mirage, and he was not a popular character, so he's hard to find, and because he's hard to find, he's expensive.
He's expensive.
And it's pisser too, because you remember the original Transformers, when they came out, they just had the little decal that said Autobot or Transformers. My Mirage was had the rub decal that said he was a Decepticon.
Okay.
Which was weird because he was an Autobot.
Right.
But then he was also, later on they were like, oh, he's a spy. So was that rub like a misprint, or was it legit that he was being a spy? Anyway,
you know what's crazy? The one that I found this weekend, found a sealed Mirage in the box, $150. The original price tag was on it, $11.99.
Yeah. You kick yourself for
if I could get a DeLorean, I would go back and buy a case of them, man. But yeah, and I've also found that I've been trying to buy loose toys now instead of sealed because I want to take them out.
Yeah.
I want to display them, as you can see around here. I got them all over the damn place. I like being able to take them out and look at them.
Yeah, well, that's whenever I collected up earlier this year, I finally bit the bullet and I just started picking them up one by one off eBay because nobody ever had them. The Kenner Superpowers.
Yeah, and Andy ended up buying a whole lot of them. You get all the ones that you wanted, all carded, all sealed up and everything.
Well, and like I had the opportunity to buy carded ones, but I was like, I've got this spot on my shelf, and what I want to do is I want to set up the Justice League, basically, and I want them like on pegs, and I want to be able to squeeze their legs and have their little action move. They're not the kind of toys it... So like if you get a G.I. Joe and they've got the articulation, you can actually like set them and pose them and make them do stuff.
They do the YMCA and all kinds of stuff.
The superpowers you can't really do. They pretty much are what they are.
Arms go up and down. Laser
and especially whenever you have a collectible like that, you don't want to move them too much because you don't want to loosen them up or inadvertently break one. So I don't play with them or anything, but they just stand on the shelf looking cool. And if I feel, every now and then I'll be on a conference call and I'll pull one down and squeeze his feet or something, and, you know, kind of mess around with them. And I want to do that kind of stuff rather than look at a box.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not my, it's not my thing. It used to be my thing. And I've got the three of the original Ninja Turtles Well, I've got Michelangelo, Donatello, and April.
Okay.
And so if I want to finish out the collection, I need two more turtles in the package, but it's Leonardo and Raphael, which are the more expensive of the four.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, I could also sell my carded ones and probably get pretty damn good condition out of the box ones.
Yeah.
Like, just on trade. Like, I'll trade you my carded ones for uncarded ones and just, you know, have them all set up. I haven't bit the bullet on that because I've had those guys for 20-something years.
Okay. I sold a bunch of turtles this weekend, actually.
All those ones that you bought?
Yeah, I sold a good bit of them. I still have a couple left. Sold a whole bunch of them. The other thing I'm looking for right now, and the thing about it is, if I get this, I know I'm going to play with it just ridiculously, but Evel Knievel Stunt Cycle. That's the other one that I'm looking for.
Are those hard to find?
I heard they're not. I just haven't seen one in a while.
Okay.
It's been a long time since I've seen one. There's a reproduction one that was done in 97 by Playing Mantis, which is the people that make Johnny Lightning. There's that one, but I want an original one from the 70s.
Yeah.
Same one I used to have. But I can promise you I'll be jumping stuff in this apartment.
Oh, of course. I don't know if it's Evel Knievel, but I definitely had the Stunt Cycle, the one where you rev up the thing.
You
rev
it up and you hit the button and it took off.
Yeah, I had that thing.
Me and my cousin used to make jumps out of all kinds of stuff. And we'd like put firecrackers on it and make him go, and it would have explosions and everything.
Every now and then I'll get a few beers in me and I'll get a... You know, go down a an eBay tube and, you know, certain things. And do you remember the speed differential between the silver wheeled Hot Wheels and the gold wheeled Hot Wheels?
Yeah, there was a Rail Rider wheels. I think is what they called them.
Those gold wheel Hot Wheels were fast.
Yeah.
And remember those ugly ass Porsches from the 80s with the headlights that sat like looking straight up instead of forward. I had a red Porsche like that. And it was a silver wheeled Hot Wheel, but he was fast. He was as fast as the gold wheeled ones. Now you look at Hot Wheels and you realize their wheels are attached with a little piece of wire.
A little wire, yeah.
it's not ball bearings.
Yeah, the axle's a little wire with some loose wheels in the end.
It's not a ball bearing. The whole weight of the car was what motivated its speed. But man, in my mind, that little Porsche. it went. It was ugly as hell. And I saw one of those things. It was a brown one. I was driving. It was kind of in the ghetto, sitting in front of somebody's house. That old, I was like, why? If you were buying a Porsche, why would you buy it brown? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Aftermarket paint job, I'm sure.
Maybe so.
And also, I want to get back on trying to get my He-Man collection together. Almost bought an Arco this weekend. Came real close to it. But it wasn't complete and he wanted too much for it, so.
I'd forgotten that his hat comes off.
Mm-hmm. And he had a wand.
Yeah.
He had a stick that he went around with.
Yeah, I remember Arco. I remember pretty much, I had carpet. So his zip tie didn't really do me any good. I remember his zip tie was like gone like that.
Yeah, I saw a Battle Cat and a Skeletors. Damn it.
Panthor.
I saw two of those over complete, but they want a little bit too much. I gotta wait till they go down a little bit with the prices. So
the thing with Panthor is finding one, and I found one.
It doesn't have mange.
Yeah. Mine has got a couple little spots, but they're under his saddle, which is okay. The bitch about Skeletor sitting on Panthor is that whenever he's got his little crotch,
his skirt.
It hangs down below his crotch, so whenever you put him on Panthor, he's balancing on the point
of his
skirt.
He won't get all the way down.
He kind of teeters. But he's up there. Yeah, like, I'm always... It's that collection part of it. It's that collector's brain, because I bought He-Man, and I set him up on my shelf, and I was like, cool. Like, he's just screaming for a Battle Cat. He's got to get a Battle Cat. So then, of course, I got a Battle Cat, and I'm sitting there at my desk, sitting there doing some work, glance up at He-Man, and I was like, well, I already had Merman from back when I was a kid. We've mentioned it on the show before. Like, I have my original Merman, and he still holds his sword, and his legs are tight. I don't know how it's possible, but he does. So I had He-Man and I had Merman, and I was like, well, I can't have He-Man and an evil minion. I've got to at least get Skeletor. So I got Skeletor and Panther, and I got a good one, like with all the accessories and everything's complete, and there's mm-hmm. no paint missing, and he's got his skirt, and it's good. And then one day I saw a joints tight with her Cobra headdress, Tila, for $5 on eBay. Buy it now. So I hit that button, and her stick's a little bent, but she's in great condition.
Uh-huh.
So now I got He-Man and Tila on one side, I got Skeletor and Merman, and I'm like, well, how did this happen? Now I got to get a Man-at-Arms and a Beast-Man. And probably an Orko, but if I freaking go to Orko, then that means I got to get a Trapjaw.
It doesn't end, dude.
And then Trapjaw and, what's his name? Triclops. They're like that.
Yeah.
But if you go that way, you need to get, if you got Triclops, then you need Manny Faces. Like, that's just sacrilege not to have him there. And if you got the one guy who spins his eye, you got to get the other guy who spins right. his face. And then who's going to bring messages if you don't get Zoar?
Like, now, I know you haven't seen it, but our good friend Anthony Martinez, he has the old poster that used to detail all the figures from Masters of the Universe. And it was set up to where, you know, you had Skeletor and his crew on this side, even his crew on this side. In the background, there was a picture of Skull Mountain and everything. And he has the poster on the wall, and he has it recreated with figures. He has just about every figure you can imagine. Plus, he has the castles. And the way he had it displayed was, he had one castle here with the bridge going up, and the minions coming down from this side trying to overtake the castle. It's pretty impressive, man. Yeah, he has a pretty big collection.
That's cool.
He loves his He-Man.
Are they like fighting each other?
Yeah, like they're set up? Look like just like the poster. They look like they're coming after each other.
Sweet. God, I used to play with He-Man so much.
Me too. He-Man was big. I was in the fifth grade when those came out, and that was huge.
It's amazing how the one that seems to be the most expensive and hard to find is He-Man himself. Like, not Battle Armor He-Man, he's relatively common, but finding an actual good He-Man with all of his paint and his
chest plate.
His X yeah. chest plate and his sword without the little thing cut off and his axe that's not bent in half. And having him being able to hold his weapon
and without, stand up.
Yeah. Like, you can get the other guys relatively easy, and they're not that expensive, but...
Now, I also found an Adam with his suede shirt and everything.
Nice.
This weekend, which is pretty cool.
So, when you were a kid, what did you do with Adam?
I never had Adam.
I had Adam, and I didn't know what to do with him.
Because he didn't fight anybody.
He didn't do anything. I wasn't going to have, like... And even in the cartoon, he was Adam, but all he did was walk around and be like, well, time to go turn into He-Man.
Yeah. Like,
he didn't actually do anything. So, in Battle Cat, you couldn't turn him into Cringer. You pulled that mask off, and he was like, "Rrr!"
And he was too big. He was he was Battle Cat all the time.
Yeah. I do think it's kind of funny because you have that, like, you know, sword and sorcery. You realize that the people who made that knew exactly where their money was coming from. Because if you look at some of that original art and realize exactly how much they toned it down like that mm-hmm. in order to get the cartoons and more toys sold yep. because of that whole Dungeons and Dragons and all of that stuff. Because if you look at some of those guys, there's some mean-looking...
They're creepy as hell, man.
Well, yeah, they're just mean-looking guys, but then they're all just like, I think because Filmation just reused animation cells and He-Man's signature move was to, like, throw them. You just see the bad guys getting thrown around all the time. So what do you think about, like... So Star Wars is fixing to come out. It's going to come out, like, tomorrow or Thursday. The new one. So we all know that buying Star Wars toys as an investment is probably not a good idea.
Not right now, no.
Do these movies give bumps to the value of the old stuff?
They used to. They don't really anymore.
Not really?
No.
So if you've got a like vintage 3PO or something, it's just going to be what it was? Like,
right.
What,
like, the only thing that's really holding value now is it's got to be complete and in really good condition. Otherwise, nobody wants it anymore. It's weird how it's, that market is just really dwindling down quick.
Is it because you can just get...
There's so much out there.
Yeah, I think you can just get whatever you want in like 40 different variants, and there's not really much that's... I mean, I don't want to necessarily say they're better, but in a lot of cases, the newer stuff is better made. Especially like the stuff from the 90s, the Power of the Force stuff.
Yeah.
It was sculpted better, you know, had more detail.
Yeah, it was sturdier and everything too.
But you're, you know, you're also not, the rarity of it all is...
It's not what you, and I think it was, a lot of the pricing was inflated to begin with.
Well, of course.
You know.
Well, that's the way it was with comics.
Oh, God. I'll tell you about the, Overstreet guy that I bought, right?
Uh-huh.
The 1978 one? I found a 1978 Overstreet. And it's the weirdest shit because you see stuff like books that are currently worth $3,000 in 78 were worth $1.50.
Uh-huh.
Talk about a bubble.
Well, it's a bubble. Things change. Like, if I could go back in time, I look at my comic collection now and I don't know. It's one of those things, like, I don't plan on going back and rereading these stories or anything, but I did read them when I got them. Like, I read the comics. But I remember when I started getting into comics, and we mentioned on the show before, because that was whenever the Tim Burton Batman came out, and Superman Action Comics number one sold for, like, $75,000. And it was the biggest comic books. Like, now it's worth $1 million.
Right.
Or more. But 75 grand for a single book. Well, think about that. If 75 grand for Action Comics number one, imagine what you could get, like, just some random, like, Superman number 49 for. You know, like, 20, 30 bucks.
Yeah.
Now you try to buy that, and you're up in the upper hundreds, depending on condition. And there used to be a comic shop here called Phoenix Comics and Games. And they had all of the new stuff with, like, at that time it was, like, X-Men, X-Force, X-Factor, you know,
all the mutant stuff,
all that Marvel stuff that, and I remember my dad and my uncle both being like, if you really want to get into this, what you ought to do is go pull all of those old from the 60s, Superman, Batman, Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, Spider-Man stuff from like way back, you know. And I remember thinking, like, but I want to read about Deadpool, and I want to read about Spider-Man, and Jim Lee and McFarlane are the shit. And all I'm going to need is like four copies of X-Force number one, and I'm going to be just like a millionaire. And now if I could go back and like get all that silver and golden age stuff, they were quarters. This was in the late 80s, early 90s. They were
those first appearances before those got real big?
Uh-huh, for quarters. Go in there, and that's too. That's my bread and butter. I like going back and reading the old Justice League and stuff. It's like the 100-page giant, and it's got five complete stories in
right.
it. I picked up a Justice League run at Pop Culture in the Black Friday sale or whatever. He was selling them for a quarter, but it was like the 1 through 7. The first issue was kind of thick and had a decent amount of story. And so, like, let's go in time. Kids went to bed. I look at the clock. It's like 8:30. I read the first book. It's 8:45. I read the second book. It's 9 o'clock. I read the third, fourth, and fifth book. It's 9:30. It's like they just got smaller and smaller and smaller as the story went on. You know, but they got you hooked. You're
going to keep buying it.
Yeah. It's like, man, you cut this thing into like thirds. This, you know, this could have been a four part. This is, I know what y'all are doing. Luckily, I only paid a quarter instead of the $4.99 cover price, which is ridiculous. But yeah, I think I'm going to just keep going like I have been. Vintage, Pulp Fiction, DC, and horror comics.
That's what I like. That's what I'm digging on. So, and there's certain collections I want to build back up that I got rid of. That like I want to get my Preacher collection built back up. I got 24 issues missing right now. So just going to try to get that work back up.
Find individuals.
Yeah, here and there. And the other toy that I need to get is I have got to finally finish my A-Team collection. So I need a face. It's the last one I need is face. I need a van. And I'll be good to go with that.
My cousin had a big plastic General Lee. You remember that?
Yeah, very well.
And for whatever reason, and it might have been just because the doors were, and that's how you put it, but it had the Confederate flag on the top, but I remember it popping open, and you could shove the guys
in
the top,
there, right.
And then close it. Was that right?
Yeah.
Is that how that worked?
From what I remember, yeah.
But his was so played with, it was kind of loose, so that you jumped it, and every time it would jump,
the top would flop up.
the days.
Los Dukes of Hazzard, man.
Oh, man. Then you go back and you're like, they didn't do anything. They just drove around and piss off the cops.
You ever told you about my Boss Hog story? When I worked on the cruise ship. I used to work on that paddleboat boat as a chef. And I'm doing dinner. We pick up a cruise, and it's the first night. And one of the waiters comes in and goes, dude, Boss Hog's out there. It's bullshit. He goes, seriously, Boss Hog is eating out there right now. And I look out the door. And what was weird is he had cancer. So he lost a lot of weight. He was real skinny. But he still had those jowls and its same head. It was Boss Hog, man. It was so awesome. I got to meet him and everything.
That's cool.
Which was pretty cool. Oh, yeah. That was, I cooked dinner for Boss Hog. How awesome is that?
And your kid, you don't know any, you know, it's like, but you're playing Dukes and Hazzard. And, you know, I'm talking really with my cousin. He had the General Lee, and he had the bow and loop. And all of us, we had Stompers, and we had Tonka trucks, and I remember my cousin, one of his friends came over. I remember being so left out because I showed up late, and he and his friend had already been playing, so he was Bo, and the other guy was Luke.
You were Cooter.
Yeah, so I got a dump truck. I had a Tonka dump truck, and I didn't have a guy, but I got to be Cooter, and I was like, "This is bullshit." Like, I didn't want to be Luke. I wanted to be Bo. Everybody wanted to be Bo,
right?
But I sure as hell didn't want to be Cooter.
Sleeveless shirt on with a do-rag.
But then you go back and watch it. He's like the one guy. He's just like, whatever, guys.
He's laid back, cool, don't care. He's always there for me. Yeah. He saves the day every once in a while.
And I didn't have to be Daisy, so that's okay.
Another one I picked up. I picked this up a couple weeks ago.
Oh, damn.
It's complete. Mark and Mindy card game. The most complicated set of rules you have ever seen in your life.
Really?
I don't know if I could play it because I'm not familiar with the show enough anymore. But that's the rules for this card game.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and this was geared to kids 8 and up. But, dude, there's so much stuff you gotta remember to do. Basically, it's like spades. It's like Uno.
Okay.
But you have to do stuff like, if you get to a certain number of cards, you gotta say Nanu Nanu and point at somebody. If you don't do that, then you got to pick two cards. It's just so many rules to this thing.
You play a card from your hand that matches either the name or the color on the top card of the discard pile. Put your card face up on top of the other card. That's easy. When you play a regular card, you must say what it is. Example, Niminui. See who has the best Orkin accent. If you don't say the name, then another player will point his finger at you and say zit, and you must draw two cards from the pile and say Shazbot when you draw the cards. If you cannot play a card from your hand, you must draw a card from the pile. Be sure to say Shazbot whenever you draw, or someone may zit you. When you used up the draw pile, you shuffle the discards and place them face down to start a new draw pile. Wow.
And then you have these eggs. Everybody has one of these eggs that you gotta try to grab. You gotta try to grab at a certain time also.
Yeah, we're gonna keep reading these rules. Special cards, Korra. Play a Korra card on any matching colored card or another Korra card, say ah, or you'll be zzzzt, and the next player loses his turn and must say Shazbot.
Now granted, the Korra card does say ah, so you do have that reminder there.
Play a Fresno card on top of a matching colored card or another Fresno card, say Shazbah,
yeah.
another card from your hand to give the player of your choice. The player who gets the card must say Shazbot or get zzzz.
How weird is that, dude? You gotta try to remember all that shit.
Orson. Play an Orson on a matching color card or another Orson card. Point to any player and say zzzz. The player you point to must draw two cards from the pile and say Shazbot. Play a Mindy card on any card because it's a wild. Name the color you want it to be, and the next player must play a card of that color. Mindy got out easy.
Yes, she does. She's simple.
Mork. Here's where the real fun starts.
You're not having fun yet. You will now.
Play a Mork card on any card, say Nanu Nanu, and make a grab for an egg. This is not as easy as it sounds because as soon as you put the card down, the other players yell, Nanu Nanu too, and try to grab an egg. Don't grab more than one egg or you'll be sent back to Orc. Whichever one doesn't have an egg has to say Shazbot and must draw two cards from the pile. If you manage to get an egg but you forget to say Nanu Nanu, then you can be zzzzt and forced to draw two cards. Put the eggs back to the center of all players and continue the game. The next player can play any card on top of a Mork card. Remember to say Shazbot whenever you draw cards, lose a turn, or are given a card by another player. If you don't, you'll be zzzzed by the Orkin finger of fate. Jesus.
Could you imagine having a game? You invite your old folks over for a game night. Like, let's play Mark and Mindy. Let me explain the rules to you real quick. You'd lose everybody in the first 5 minutes. Yeah. Like, dude, could you repeat that again, please?
That's probably why they... Like, you just imagine, like, people are like, okay, well, I just picked up a Mork card. Everybody's like, grabs eggs. You're like, what the hell is going on?
But the thing, I remember this game as a kid. It was not that complicated. We did it a lot simpler than that.
You did it differently?
Yeah, we had to have. Man, I don't remember it being with all this shit. Yeah, so I picked that up recently.
That is incredible.
Yeah, I got home and I read the directions. I was like, this would be fun to play with the kids. I'm like, my kids will never play this. they won't understand anything. Like, who the hell is Korra? Right.
Mork and Mindy. Mork's like super complicated, and Mindy's just like, it's a wild card.
It's a wild card. Play it anywhere. You don't have to do anything.
But
special.
You could get zzzzed if you're not careful. We might have to play with that one time on the show. Yeah. You set up the microphone and just see.
Have a few cocktails first.
Let's see if we can get through, like, get a 4-player game and see if we can get through it.
It'd be a hilarious drinking game.
It really would. Like, you have to go back. You did not say Shazbot.
Eggs flying everywhere.
Wow. Those rules were the most entertaining thing that's happened to me all day. All right. Well, I guess that's going to do it for this episode. We hit it right at the 34-minute mark.
Reminiscing about toys.
That's it. So, hey, this one lands right between episode 1 and episode 2 of our very special Christmas episode. Hit us up next week for the grand finale of pretty much what's been a Christmas holiday season, like multi-episode series of the Scary Dad Podcast. It has been fun. And then catch us in a couple of weeks, and we will hit you up with Happy New Year.
Yes, indeed.
All right, guys. Stay scared.
Later.
Tomorrow 12:30 star movie, Monster Mania breaks loose when the king of prehistoric creatures comes to life in Godzilla, starring Raymond Burr.